Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Karen Kilgariff, child empath.
You know what, Karen?
What's that?
Ordinarily, that's when Jordan would talk.
Yeah, I know.
You're filling in for Jordan this week.
I'm girl Jordan.
You're dramatically more is that how you identify?
That's how I identify on the streets.
Oh, just on the streets.
Just on the streets.
What about in the sheets?
In the sheets, that's private. MYOB, please.
You're dramatically more mellifluous than Jordan.
Think so?
That's something that I really appreciate about having you here.
Does that have anything to do with the movie Maleficent?
Yeah. Yeah. You're in the movie Maleficent, right?
I am. I have horns. I have head horns.
Just having horns is not enough to be in the movie. You have to have appeared on camera.
No, you also have to have wings.
I'll grant you that you have horns and wings. I mean, I can see right now that you've got what honestly look like they may have been surgically implanted horns and wings.
I mean, I have spent some money. Yes, it's true. But it's worth it to me.
Yes, I'm in show business.
Yes, okay, look, we're not all born with it.
I worked for Ellen DeGeneres.
She made me get horns and wings. Fine, I'll say it.
It was half her, half Portia de Rossi.
Look, I wanted it, okay, or I wouldn't have done it. But yes, they led me down the path.
How are you doing? How are you doing, Karen Kilgariff? It's great to have you here as a guest. As a guest, what's it called? Co-host.
Co-host. Thank you. It's good to be in this. You know, this very acoustically, perfectly set up room. It's a tiny, tiny room. I'd love to be here with you.
Outside of the fact that you can absolutely hear our producer, Brian Sunny D. Fernandez, guffawing loudly through
just
the window.
Just going nuts.
That's just his natural state.
I love it. I did give him $20, though, and I was like, let's beef up the laughing on this one.
Wait, you gave Brian $20 to beef up the laughing?
Just to laugh through the window.
I'm sincerely worried about the structural integrity of this building.
You should.
If Brian is beefing up his laughing. He is the laughingest person I know on earth.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one bigger this time.
By the way, Karen.
Yes.
I also want to compliment you on remembering my son's name.
That's right, I did.
That was a very lovely gesture that I appreciate very much.
Well, you know, Jesse, I was an alcoholic for a long time, and I didn't really make an effort toward anyone ever.
Yeah,
so
sure.
In my later years, and hopefully before I die, mm-hmm. I'm going to get in a couple good swipes on people.
A couple good kindness swipes?
Some kindness swipes, just right across the eyes.
Getting right up in there?
Yep.
Like a wildcat of kindness?
Yeah. So you bleed out good feeling. With eye fluid.
Is that what step is that?
That's the 12th step. That's the final one.
Is this why?
Is you turn into a kindness panther and you just attack people's faces.
Wow.
From what I understand.
That really, honestly, that explains a lot about my dad and my childhood.
Right?
Like, I thought, wow, okay, yeah, so that's what he was doing.
Yeah. You took it as a negative when actually it was, you know, probably really a huge positive.
Should we introduce our guest on the program or should we just have him sit in the corner?
No, I think we absolutely should.
Okay. He's a beloved celebrity entertainer. He's a celebrated writer, actor, director, and raconteur.
Mm.
His latest film, the first of what is sure to be many in recent years because it's not his first overall because he directed the film The Baxter some years ago. Is My Name is Doris. He's best friends with Sally Field, who sends him text messages. Michael Showalter. Hi,
yay.
Michael.
Hey.
How are you, friends?
I'm great, friends.
We watched and enjoyed your movie,
thanks.
FYI.
Thank you. I thought of a funny name for a guest co-host.
Let's hear it.
Ghost. A ghost.
That is fun. That's very funny.
Do you see? It takes guest, co, and host and somehow melds it into a word that already exists.
Yeah.
A ghost.
It goes ahead and removes co.
It goes on it, right on ahead and moves co.
Which is like a power move.
It goes right on ahead and removes U-E-S-T and replaces it with H.
Yeah.
It just goes, no, it doesn't do that.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't do that.
Uh-uh.
It just goes ahead and removes UEST and co.
So it removes, okay. Can you, I lost track there.
It more than just removes it, it goes right on ahead and removes it.
Okay, so it goes right on ahead and removes what now?
UEST and co.
From?
Guest co-host.
What's left?
Ghost.
Ghost.
That is very clever, Michael. That is extremely clever. No wonder you're a successful film director.
That kind of felt a little bit like one of those segments on Sesame Street. Didn't
yes,
it? Where you
yes,
got walked
yes,
through it four
yes.
times and then we learn.
Ghost. Ghost.
Guest host.
Guest. Co.
Co.
Host. Guest. Ghost. Host.
Well,
Jesse's
we're delighted
deeply
to have
regretting
here.
That I'm here right now. Jesse's staring.
Can I just say, in my showing of Hello, My Name is Doris at the Arclight last weekend.
Okay, we get it, Karen. You paid the extra to get the reserved seat.
I am a Gold Circle member, a Gold Line member.
Oh, well.
I have a pile of gold in the trunk of my car.
Well, I have a lot of eBay bucks.
What?
You don't see me bragging about it.
You should.
Yeah.
But it was a packed house.
Oh. That's good
it
to know.
It was full, which I think.
What night, may I ask, what night or day was it?
It was Friday.
It was Friday. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Evening.
Yeah.
Which I thought, I don't know, I felt proud of you. Not in a condescending way.
No, I mean, look, this is the first time I feel like I've ever done anything that I didn't have to like beg and cajole people to watch.
Yeah.
People just go to see it because they're excited to see this movie. They don't even know I've got anything to do with it. Thank God. They just want to see Sally Field.
Yeah.
Doing her thing.
And she's amazing.
She's amazing.
And Tyne Daly.
Tyne Daly.
Come on.
And they're phenomenal. They're yeah. two iconic actresses, American actresses, working together in this movie.
Let me ask you this. Where did you like have lunch with Sally Field?
Le pain quotidien, which is this lovely French bistro.
A place called the McDonald's.
No, it was this really adorable French bistro called Le pain quotidien. But what was your question?
I just want to know what it's like. I have never had lunch with a legendary movie star, so I just want to know what that's like.
Well, I offered her the role. Didn't think to make her audition. It was an offer.
Good call.
Had no truly – it did not even cross my mind for half of 1 second that she would want to do the movie. It was like, might as well do this. Why not? Worst case scenario, she says no and whatever. But she read the script. She was interested. Would you meet her for lunch? She's out of town. She'll be back in a week or two. Would you meet her for a coffee and she'll talk to you about your movie? I said yes. We met at Le Pain Quotidien, which is, I believe, this one is in Brentwood.
Can I ask you, Le Pain Quotidien, is that like a chichi French bistro?
It's a very authentic French bistro in Brentwood. I've never been to one before.
It's a chain, yes. though, right? It is a chain.
Oh, I don't know. No. This was a very...
No, it's just like in France.
It's a French Applebee's, isn't it?
All
Karen,
I know
is... Karen, can I take a second? Can I take a second to explain something to you?
I'd love it.
Do you know the French dish escargot?
Oui.
It's snails. You're eating snails. That's the kind of stuff that Mike and Sally Field know a lot about.
Okay.
I'm just learning about, and frankly, you're ignorant as hell.
Wow.
I know nothing about it.
This
no,
just
it's
got
true.
Very so I like did the like bought a new shirt, you know, I had a nice clean shirt and I combed my hair and all that.
Good call.
And I got there very early and she walked in and there she is. And I mean, I've loved her forever.
Yeah.
She's, you know, I truly, truly adore this actress. And then there she is. And she was delightful, humble, funny, charming person.
It would be I would
and it was terrifying.
I would like it if you had said that she was not humble. Like she just came in and she's like, okay, let's get the rules straight, Showalter. Number one, I'm fucking Sally Field.
Yeah. I wanted her to do that. We all wanted her to do that, but it never happened.
Is that like a lifelong dream you've had to be bossed around by
yeah.
Sally Field?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. But then I think it was the very next day I got a phone call from her agent and her manager on the call. They were both on the call, which usually that's a good thing. And it was like, she's going to do your film. And it was like, hey, so listen, Sally Field's going to do your movie. And then it was – the implication was like, so don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Like, hey, kid, she's going to do your film. So this is the last time, you know, we're going to talk to you nice. Don't fuck it up. But it was amazing. It was fantastic. She's a very demanding person. And she's not like – you know, she's tough as nails. She's
– what kind of demands are we talking about? Escargot?
No. She has no demands like that. She has – although I will say – there was a young gentleman whose job it was to pick her up and bring her to the set every morning. And one morning he was 10 minutes late, and that he never was given that job. That was it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That it was a one strike and you're out.
You know what, Mike? She's a professional.
Yeah.
She's got work to do. People are relying on her. She's got to get in that makeup chair.
She drove herself.
No. That. Was that the scariest thing when she pulled up and
she drove herself after that.
Oh, you mean the whole rest of the time?
Yes.
Oh, no. Because she's like, if I can't rely on you, I'll just do it myself.
Correct.
I'm Sally Field.
Correct.
Remember me from Smokey and the Bandit?
Yes.
God, you know what?
What?
I just watched Smokey and the Bandit for the first time, like maybe 3-4 months ago. I understand why everyone likes Smokey and the Bandit so much.
It's so good.
That shit is delightful.
It's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
And she was perfect. She was like gorgeous, but not like... in a very girl-next-door way and so approachable. And no, she's legendary.
I remember the big movie, I mean, amongst all the other movies, but there was one that I really watched a million zillion times was Punchline.
Yeah.
I have not seen Punchline. What happens? What's Punchline?
Punchline is she plays a stand-up comedian, and she sort of plays Roseanne Barr.
Yeah.
Actually is who she plays.
Really?
Yes. And it was Tom Hanks like Tom Hanks's first not big comedic part. It was like his first like maybe I'm actually a good actor too part. And
what are we talking about?
It was like stand up comedy
I
drama.
Say 80, maybe eight late 80s.
Okay, like 88,
something like that.
How about 89?
Yeah, I think it was a little later.
88, says Brian Fernandez.
I thought I saw it in L.A.
And she,
I'm pretty sure it's 88, Karen.
Well, yeah, of course you're sure. He just said it.
So, but you,
Karen, you've got a lot to learn about.
She plays, she plays a suburban mom who is funny, and her husband is actually played by John Goodman in the movie.
Really?
Yes, and she is a natural. She's a natural, and she just. Starts doing stand-up, you know, later in her life. And meanwhile, Tom Hanks is like Mark Maron, sort of. Like this kind of his own – he's his own worst enemy, but like brilliant. And they kind of form a bond and a little bit of a relationship forms. And the big climactic scene is auditioning for Carson or the equivalent of Carson in the movie. And she gets it and he doesn't. Because he has an epic meltdown in his Carson audition. He has the like – he has like too much truth and he can't like just stick to his material. And so he gets like too real and it's awkward.
Is this a good movie?
I love it. But it's a little campy.
Well, it's like there's really good people on it, like Taylor Negron is in it. Paul Kozlowski was in it as one of the other comics. There's all kinds of great comics.
It has this whole sort of – and it's funny. It was like when stand-up comedy was all the rage.
Right.
And so there's like a juggling nun and there's like all these – it's like
classic.
The stand-up comedy club is like everyone's got their bit. You know,
classic
everyone,
stand-up tropes.
Everyone has their – you know, everyone has their very specific – little corner of comedy that they do, and as a young guy thinking about maybe being in comedy, it was very exciting and fascinating.
Karen, did anyone ever try to make you into, or did you ever try and make yourself into the something something comedian?
The juggling nun.
I did Well, I was young when I started. So I was pretty young when I was in L.A. So I did have that kind of like, you know, it was borderline. Punk rock isn't the right thing, but just kind of like, she's not, you know, it's not your dad's stand-up comedian kind of feel.
And the audience should know here, I'm just giving a little context, that you were given one of those, hey, this guy over here thumbs.
I was doing kind of an old-fashioned face,
yeah.
But you can't see it.
Yeah.
My favorite part of Punchline the movie was that everyone had their own locker backstage at the comedy club.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I thought it came out later, because we used to talk about it all the time.
Punchline?
And just the idea of that you would go back after your set and open your locker and take your purse out angrily.
Well, because it's sort of like it was as if stand-up was like a strip club.
Yes, exactly.
That was the basic template.
Exactly.
It was like we're just the stand-ups. We punch in, we punch out. We've all got a locker back here. The manager treats us like crap.
Yeah.
But it's this sort of romantic what's that movie with the dancer? Flashdance.
Flashdance.
It's like a very blue collar kind of thing of like the behind the scenes of a stand up comedian.
I've never seen Flashdance. Wait, happens in Flashdance?
Are you a Russian spy?
No. Is Flashdance the one? No, Dirty Dancing is the one I saw. I recently saw Dirty Dancing for the first time.
With the lift in the pond?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely some lifts in the pond.
I think I'm the opposite of you. I've seen everything pre-1988 and nothing after it.
What? You've seen some... What about The Baxter? You saw that?
That doesn't count.
Peter Dinklage?
That doesn't count.
Yeah, it was great. He was great. He was like a wedding planner.
That's right. Benson Hedges.
Yeah, there you go. A lot of people think that I come and I'm giving people like a line of baloney about having seen their work, but
right.
Look, I've seen the movie.
You
the
mean
Baxter.
It? And you
had
saw
Peter
it before.
Dinklage.
You knew he was going to be a guest.
Yeah.
This is real.
Peter Dinklage is going to be on this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Oh, sorry, Michael, but we are out of time.
The Dink.
I got to bring in the Dink.
The Dink. Have you ever worked with the Dink?
No, I saw him at a thrift store once, and I was like, man, does that guy look like Peter Dinklage? And I was thinking, like, geez, could that? And then, like, some people with clipboards came up and, like, were taking instructions from him as he was, like, pointing at things. And I was like, yeah, that's definitely the Dink.
The Dink got a job managing a thrift store?
No.
He was in charge.
It was a big thrift store. No, it was as though he was like directing a film like that, directing a show, something.
Huh.
He was definitely in charge of two people who looked like real Hollywood types.
Interesting.
And I don't think, like, that is a man so handsome, I think it would be very difficult to mistake him. What? The Dink. He's a very handsome man.
I just wanted to see how quiet it could get. It was so quiet for a second there.
Showalter gave me a look like Peter
No,
Dinklage.
I didn't.
Yeah, you
He's
did.
A gorgeous. Are you
he's
kidding me?
Sexy.
He's like one of the handsomest dudes
he's,
ever.
He really he's is. Shirtless on a horse on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah.
And he'll never let you forget it, too.
You have Max Greenfield in your movie.
Ooh.
He's also a good-looking man.
Jeez, he's quite good-looking.
So I have met Max Greenfield.
Right.
He came in here, and I had admired him on the television show New Girl. And
you talking like that combined with your beard is so grandpa.
I had admired him on the television show New Girl.
Have you heard of this show on the Fox Network?
Certainly. Sure.
I know in the San Francisco Bay Area it's Channel 2. I'm not sure.
KTVU. There's only one, too.
Yeah, exactly. So I had admired him on the show New Girl, which is an ensemble comedy on the Fox Network.
Certainly.
And I had found him to be in a generally very strong cast, by far the standout performer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Schmidt.
And it's because he's Schmidt. And Schmidt, this character on this show, if you haven't seen it, is like just magnetic, and all you want is to give him a hug in the entire world. Like, all you can think about the whole time you're watching the show. Even with what's-her-face, Zooey Deschanel. Is that the star of the show?
Yeah.
Like, she is a very beautiful woman. And
she's nothing compared to Max Greenfield.
No, she's nothing. She's a wonderful actress. She's like spectacularly beautiful. She's just delightful. And like Max Greenfield just blows everyone else on screen off every time he steps on. And it is with pure like friendship qualities. Like all you want is to just like just like throw your arm around his shoulder and be like, hey, bud.
Yeah.
And even when he's not wearing his shirt. Which right. normally anytime a dude is not wearing their shirt, I'm like, fuck you. Put your shirt back on.
Yeah.
But even when he's not wearing his shirt, I mean, he's very fit.
Mm-hmm.
But that usually enhances my feelings of fuck you. Put your shirt back
on. But not with Max.
No. His.
You're almost like, take those pants off.
Yeah. Like, let me.
Entertain you.
Exactly.
Let me make you smile.
Did you take Max Greenfield to Le Pain Quotidien?
No, but we went to a different French restaurant, the name of which I can't remember.
French only?
Maybe. Le Belle Époque?
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
Bonjour.
Les Sans Culottes.
Au Fudge. There's a restaurant now called Au Fudge, which is a Jessica Biel's new spot.
Wait, Jessica Biel?
Jessica Biel owns this spot. And it's called Au. Uh-huh. Fudge. Oh, fudge.
Were you...
And it's for kids.
Watching Extra?
Someone invited us. Someone invited us to her new spot. Because it's kid-friendly.
Fudge only?
No. They have a whole menu of French, delicious French food. And some fudge. There's some fudge there, too.
So Max Greenfield came here.
Uh-huh.
I honestly had a hard time interviewing him for Bullseye because I so badly wanted to be friends with him the entire time he was here. Like, that's how his friendship charisma. I just thought it must be an amazing.
Did you tell him that?
You're using friendship as a euphemism, though, right? That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, for entertaining.
Got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy is magical. Look, it is my job. I'm a professional interviewer.
Mm-hmm.
I've interviewed Michael Showalter on multiple occasions.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed Michael Showalter on the occasion of the release of his film Wet Hot American Summer by telephone from Santa Cruz, California.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was...
All those years ago?
I think it was maybe like a year after the movie came out. But we're going to call that the release window.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It was probably...
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long
time
ago.
No memory of it, Michael?
Absolutely, but I didn't... I know that I have, over the course of many years, touched base with Jesse. Jesse is... Jesse is a constant.
Yes. Check in. Absolutely.
Like the ticking of a metronome.
Jesse is a constant.
And like just as funny.
He'll come back around.
And I should add, it's been wonderful to see you develop and to see you evolve your brand, as they say.
Thank you.
And your beard and your mustache.
Thank you. I have interviewed many people. The only people who I have felt that way about, off the top of my head, Max Greenfield, RuPaul.
Mm.
RuPaul is also just radiant.
Yes.
Just a radiant human being. And you just sit there and you're just like, this is an amazing person.
Yep.
The way that people feel in the presence of like religious figures.
I was in an elevator with RuPaul at the Virgin Mega Center. That's what you used to call it. I don't know what it's called anymore. down on Sunset. And it was my friend and I had just gotten some CDs at the Virgin store when. This was the 90s.
Yeah.
And he got in the elevator, pressed his button.
What are we talking about? Zwan?
I would get a Zwan. I was known to get, I would buy the same Eurythmics best of compilation over and over.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I do.
Sure.
And he
Mushroom
got in a little bit of bebop.
Yeah.
He pressed his number on the elevator and then turned around and goes, what'd you guys get? And literally made us go through our bags and show him our CDs. Yes. And I was like, he looked like a guy in a little sun hat. He just looked like anybody else.
Is he RuPaul when he's not? in the outfit?
He is. Well, RuPaul is his actual given name.
Name. So when you see someone, okay, so.
So when he's he's an unusual drag performer in that he has the same name in both contexts.
Right.
In real life, he is like he is very handsome, very thin, and very like boldly but nattily attired.
Yes, yes.
That was my experience anyway.
Yes. Oh yeah. No, I've never met him, but I've been in his presence before, and he's tall, very tall gentleman. Yep.
And he was friends with the B-52s when he was a teenager.
Ooh.
Is that true?
Yes.
That's perfect.
I know.
That's perfection.
Yeah. It's as good as it gets. There's no doubt about it. Have you ever seen the footage of RuPaul performing with his punk rock band?
No.
Yeah. He had a teenage punk rock band. And you can watch footage of him performing on like Athens, Georgia public access television on YouTube.
Fuck. Is he performing in drag or just being punk?
Nope. Just being just a super gay punk rock black 14-year-old.
Fuck, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's 16, 17, something like that. But he's really thin and – yeah.
Who else besides Max Greenfield and RuPaul?
Max Greenfield.
And then I have a question for you.
Terry Crews.
Uh-huh.
Terry Crews is amazing.
Really?
And like I had Terry Crews in here because I thought, well, look, was great as President Camacho in Idiocracy. And he's always really great on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I think is one of the funniest sitcoms on TV. And so I just thought – I thought like –
And the
old
Spice commercials.
He's great. He's great at that. He's not in all of those.
He's in a lot of them, though.
Was in some of them for a while, and I have not seen him host Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which is another.
Oh, does he host Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
And I did, and I had not seen him performing as an American Gladiator, which is how he got his start in the entertainment industry. But I was like, look, it'll be interesting. Like at the very minimum, it'll be interesting. I can talk to him about what's it like to be in the NFL. For example, which he was in the NFL. And he came in here and like shook my hand. And I was like, oh, my God, can you start a religious faith like so that I can join it?
Just a powerful presence.
Yeah. Just an incredible presence. And like RuPaul, just radiated kindness and regard for the world.
Yeah.
One of the things that RuPaul said when he was in here was I basically asked him, like, what was it like to be a small-town Southern gay kid in the 70s? And he basically said – he said to me, nobody ever really bothered me because they could tell that I loved everyone. And he meant it, and I believed him 100% and continue to. Like, how could anyone ever mess with him? He's so magical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who have you met? Okay, I'm going to turn the tables on you two. You guys are hanging around celebrities all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you probably met Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone.
These are all Jean-Claude Van Damme.
They're just large, upper-bodied men.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Kind of beefy guys.
Sylvester Stallone. Schwarzenegger.
Okay, the question is,
in your time as an entertainment professional, lo these past 20 or so years, mm-hmm. who has made the biggest impact on you upon meeting them?
I mean, I've met some of my like bucket list people, and David Letterman, Kevin Klein.
When did you meet David Letterman?
I was on the television program.
On the David Letterman television program?
I was on the
program?
David Letterman
television. Did you get the panel?
I did panel on the David Letterman television program.
That's the best.
And I, it was quite amazing. It was quite an amazing experience. I only saw him on the show. Like, they push you out there. Biff Henderson pushes me out there. And it's
Biff Henderson from the Letterman show?
Biff Henderson from the Letterman. Like, I'm like, oh, wow, you really are the person that, like.
I went to a taping, and that blew my mind. That he really was.
Oh, and he really was, like, working on the. It was his. Yeah. He works on the show.
Yeah.
Like, he was the stage manager. And then it's pitch black and freezing cold, just like you hear. Like, you can't see the audience at all. They're out there, but you cannot see them at all. And there's David Letterman. And I'm sitting next to him, and I'm doing my thing that I've rehearsed 100 million times. And then I heard him laugh at one of my stupid jokes that I told. And then the whole thing is a blur.
But that doesn't count because –
okay, that doesn't count.
Look, I like
– I met Eve Plum.
I like
Plum.
RuPaul.
I met Eve Plum.
I don't know who Eve Plum is.
Yes, you do.
I do. Is she from Footloose?
God basically, damn it, Jesse.
Basically. I met Eve Plum.
You're making a rap motion like I just got served.
Because it is. It's sort of like mic drop. I met Eve Plum.
I genuinely don't know who Eve Plum is.
Eve Plum is Jan Brady.
Oh. I met a Brady, but I don't remember which Brady it is.
This goes back to my, like, you haven't seen anything pre-1988.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anything post-1988.
So,
to me, meeting Eve Plum is like, I spent most of my childhood watching you on television and obsessing about wishing I was in your family.
Mike, I'm not here to compare dicks with you, okay?
Good, because I don't want to do that. I have no interest in that.
We've both been very extremely successful in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. You're directing a film co-written by our friends Emily Gordon and Kumail Nanjiani and executive produced by Judd Apatow. And again, this is not a comparison because I don't want to embarrass you at all. But I was on a History Channel special called Christmas Through the Decades.
What's this?
It's on the History Channel. It's a special about Christmas through the decades.
Got it.
What were you doing on the show? Like talking head?
Yeah. And I assumed that it was a comedy show, but it wasn't. It was like I Love the 90s if that was not a comedy show. Yeah.
If it was about Christmas.
Yeah. And about Christmas.
And sincere.
I went in there. It was a blast. It was an honor to be invited. Like, sincerely, like, if you are me and you get offered a job as one of the talking heads on Christmas Through the Decades.
You pass.
No. You say, yeah, sure. Where do I go? Can I have $500? Yes, then we'll be there.
I know. I was joking when I said you pass.
Oh, thank you. So I went and did this, and by the time I had agreed to it, it wasn't until I saw – like they sent out a call sheet for it because they shoot these in like 30-minute chunks. So you just go in there and they give you a bunch of prompts over 30 minutes.
Did you meet Santa Claus? Is this building up to that you met Santa Claus?
Did you think that Santa Claus made the show Christmas Through the Decades for the History Channel?
He's an EP, right?
Well, I think he got like a created by credit.
I would hope.
I think it's like Gene Roddenberry gets a credit on every Star Trek show, but it's not like he's on set.
Right. Okay.
He lets the elves run the show. So I didn't know. I had no idea. I was like, because I don't even, I don't have an agent. You know what I mean? Like they just emailed me and I was like, yeah, okay. And I got the call sheet and there were a few people on the call sheet that I knew. So my friend Mike Pesca was on the call sheet, a former NPR personality, now a bigwig at Slate, a very funny, talented guy. Nerd celebrity Will Wheaton was on the call sheet. I met him once at a movie screening. He was there with Chris Hardwick. He seemed like a nice man. So that was basically the people that I knew or whatever. And then the other people were like someone from What's Happening, Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the Bradys. I don't know what Brady it was.
Peter Knight. Christopher Knight.
It was one of the girls.
Oh, might have been Eve Plum.
It could have been Eve Plum. She and Mr. Belding were... Wilson from
Castaway?
From
volleyball?
Yeah.
He's very hard to
to please.
To book, and to please.
But like the...
Well, because that movie went to his head.
Yeah.
But
He was so cool before that movie and then he became... Sorry.
I had this... I had, so for me, this is like an exciting opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go do this TV thing. Like, it's going to be fun. I haven't been on TV much in the last couple of years. Like, it'll be neat. You know, we'll see what it's like. And everybody was really nice. And I'm leaving. I had a great time doing it. And I'm leaving. And the Brady is there. And she's just sitting in this makeup chair. And, you know, she's, I don't know, 60-ish, 55. Isn't that about right?
No.
55. Maybe she just had a hard life.
You're being so disrespectful to Michael's choice of the greatest celebrity he's ever met.
She's like 85 years old.
You must have been.
She's wearing a T-shirt that said, and I thought this was weird, fuck Michael Showalter.
She's 85 years old.
And I asked her, do you want to make love to Michael Showalter? And she said, no, I mean it as a rude expletive.
Maybe it was Alice.
No, it wasn't Alice. I would recognize Alice. That's like the only one I would recognize because she looked exactly the same. Or the mom.
Florence Henderson.
I would recognize either of them because they went very deep into their careers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking exactly the same as they did
on
the show.
Right.
And they're both very charming, too.
Yeah.
But this Brady, she's sitting in this makeup chair. And this whole thing is taking place in like a strip mall in the valley next to a Vivid Video building.
Oh, yeah. That's near where I work. That's on Ventura.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Cahuenga. It's on Cahuenga.
Yeah. And it's just like there's – like you think a television show, if you don't work in television, you think a television show is a buzzing hub of activity with, and I've visited Conan, and Conan is like that, you know. But this show was basically four people sitting in just an abandoned strip mall. They were all super nice, but I'm delighted because I don't get to be on television very often, and I'm buzzing because I'm like, oh, I did a new kind of thing. This is really fun. And just this poor Brady woman was just sitting there in this makeup chair with a look that I'm not going to call it defeat because it was more like steely resolve. Like, I'm going to do what I have to do. Like
for Christmas?
Like the look. Yeah, for Christmas. You're just doing it on behalf of Christmas.
Yeah. In the name of Christmas.
In the name of the spirit of Christmas.
Yeah.
She was there to talk about pet rocks. Remember pet rocks?
Oh, how could I forget?
Well, you should have been on this show, Mike.
Oh, did you do a whole show on pet rocks?
They had me do 15 minutes on the 70s.
Oh, because that was a good gift.
I'm born in 1981. I know I'm bald. But, like...
What do I know of pet rocks?
I know nothing of pet rocks.
Right.
What do I know about Star Wars toys and how hard they were to get?
Yeah.
I looked at the list. I said, I know about Pee Wee Herman Christmas Special. Let's talk about... And Hot Dr. Pepper.
Ew, really?
Yeah. That's just because I like Dr. Pepper. I know some stuff about Dr.
People eat that shit up for Christmas?
I was the president of the Dr. Pepper
Club. Do you have a... Yeah. What's your answer?
A radiant celebrity?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I want to hear, Karen.
Yes.
In contrast to Mike, who just listed people that he admired that he's met. So it's basically just like telling us about his achievements in show
business. I'll think about the other thing. I'll think about it.
The question is, it's not about who you are most excited to meet.
It's
about who made the biggest impact.
So
who was the most remarkable.
So you weren't excited to meet RuPaul. That's what you're saying.
I was perfectly glad to meet RuPaul, Mike.
But then you were blown away.
You were turned.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I was left in awe.
All right. I want to think about that.
Okay. Here's what mine would be then, off the cuff. The first one that comes to mind is I did work, as many people know, on the second season of The Marriage Ref.
Right.
And so it's...
Well, it's up ref heads know that.
Yeah, ref heads. And the people on my website.
Coincidentally, by the way, ref heads are the only people who know that there was a second season of The Marriage Ref.
You have to be way deep inside.
What's The Marriage Ref?
The Marriage Ref was Jerry Seinfeld and Jessica Seinfeld.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, my God.
Marriage show.
Yes.
And when they revamped it in the second season.
Did Tom Papa continue to host?
Yes, he did.
Because I only watched one episode of the show, but the thing that struck me the most was what a great job Tom Papa did.
He's the greatest.
I was like, Tom Papa. was great at hosting this weird show.
Oh, people would bring in their marital problems, and then celebrities would, like, talk about what they think they should do.
Exactly. So. Insanely high-end. Like, they booked Madonna. They booked
the one
the
I watched had Larry David and Madonna arguing with each other.
Yeah.
And it was the weird – and Madonna got so mad at Larry David because Larry David was just being a dick.
But right. Wasn't it just – it was literally like, what would you do? Like, what should they do?
What should they do? And the poor couple that was always somehow from Florida was up on a Skype. So they couldn't have been further away from the entire situation. It was like, keep those people away from the A-list celebrities is the way it ended up feeling. It was kind of hilarious. So the second season, they kind of revamped it a little bit to see if they could, you know, make it go in a different way. And that's when they brought me in.
Yeah.
Because they knew that that's – when I when
you're
you bring
fixer.
People off
the
Skype,
fixer.
I'm the fixer.
You're the fixer.
When we get rid of Skype and we get real, that's when I come into play. So when
you're, you're famous for graceful second acts on television. You brought Kirstie Alley to Cheers.
I said, guys, I understand if Diana's gone, we have to replace her. It can't be someone of the same quality.
Yeah.
We have to come at this from a different angle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But she still needs to have 80s hair and a crazy gal attitude.
The important thing here, we need to have certain qualities similar. Certain qualities different. So different, we say, instead of making her pretentious, let's make her ditzy.
A Scientologist. Oh, ditzy, yes.
And similar, let's keep an eye on those shoulder pads. We need those pads strong.
We need them big, and we need them as wide as the hair.
We need powerful pads.
So who'd you meet?
Jerry Seinfeld, the first day he came into the office. And I didn't – I obviously, from through stand-up, know, respect him – all of that, but never – he wasn't my favorite. He wasn't the person I identified with her in any way. But he's, one of the hugest stand-ups there is.
Yeah, and a truly great stand-up.
And a truly great one, and made a TV show that was like rock-solid, great television that kind of changed
things. The Marriage Ref?
Yes, in season one of The Marriage Ref.
B-movie. She's talking about B-movie.
The day he came in, I was standing in my office. I heard his voice in the hallway, and I just started pouring sweat out of my armpits. And I've never had this reaction to anyone before. And I was looking at – I was with Laura Kraft, who anytime we talk about The Marriage Ref Season 2, we always implicate each other. So if she talks about it, she always brings my name up and vice versa. And I looked at Laura Kraft, and I'm like, I'm sweating so much. And I just could not stop sweating. And then I was introduced to him, and it kind of continued for a while after.
And he was radiant?
He was radiant. He has amazing teeth, and he's just big. Like, he's fills up the entire room. It's Jerry Seinfeld. So you're just kind of like – you're in the room with Jerry Seinfeld. You're kind of like rendered slightly undone. But that was like a more of a physical reaction. Then I would say the radiant person that I met was Dave Grohl, who walked into our office one day when I worked on Whitney Cummings' talk show – swung on by because he was guest hosting Chelsea Lately and said hi to everybody and then looked at me and goes, oh, you're that girl. And everyone in the room turned and looked at me and I was just like, I didn't understand what was happening. But being a person from, you know, the Riot Girl grunge era, I was done. I literally got dizzy. Like, I was sitting down, thank God. And he knew me from Girls Guitar Club. And was like, we used to watch that tape on the bus. And I was just like, I don't understand what's happening right now.
Right.
And basically told everyone I was quitting. And,
floated away. Floated up into the air.
Yeah, essentially. He like said a couple other things and left the room. And then the door shut and it was quiet for a little bit. And then we all just started laughing like crazy.
Right,
it was
right.
just like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
It was miraculous.
Yeah,
I would have liked it if you said to him, if you had a baby coffin, would it be for sale? Which is a line
from
the tape that he used to like to watch on his tour bus. I'm a fan. You know what? I'm a success, but I'm a fan too, Mike.
That's right.
Of what?
Of the Girls Guitar Club, Michael.
Is that what they say?
That was my old band of Maryland.
I know it was.
It was in our short
film.
I
saw you guys many times at Largo when I – many, many years ago on the rare occasion that I would come to Los Angeles – I would come see you guys at Largo and loved it. Loved you.
Thank you.
Those were the good old days.
They really were. It's over now.
Is it? Are they?
Isn't it?
I don't know.
Doesn't it feel like it?
Are they?
I don't know.
I mean, yes. It definitely feels like it.
I mean, right now it does.
Guys, we're
right now in this room.
In this moment.
We're going to hash this out.
Did you hear
out.
That reaction?
Yeah, Brian's
just goes, oh.
Brian's worried for us. He's got a big heart, Brian Fernandez.
Are you guys still gigging?
No. We haven't done that in like a decade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Karen's got some beautiful songs of her own. She's got a great solo act and a new duo.
That's right. I do it all. And I have a cooking show with Giotto.
Really?
No.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Karen Kilgariff, child empath.
With us,
Michael Showalter.
Yeah.
Ghost.
Oh, so you're horning in on Karen's territory.
You're not the
here,
ghost.
Huh?
You're not the ghost.
Okay, guys, we have a message up on the Jumbotron this week from a listener. It is for a product called Pass Down Journal. They say, we've been fans of Jordan Jesse Go and wanted to support the show and say thanks for all the years of laughter. You know what? I thank you, Pass Down Journal, for all of the years of laughter that you've provided to me. You know, Mother's Day is just a few weeks away, and few gifts have the potential to become a treasured family heirloom like a pass-down journal. It's a high-quality hardcover journal. Do not sigh on microphone while our listeners are sharing this beautiful product that they've made.
Isn't that going to get edited out?
No, that is not going to get edited out.
Sweeten it in post.
That's you being contemptuous. These people made a beautiful, high-quality hardcover journal filled with 125 life interview questions that anyone can fill out to capture their best stories and pass along a lifetime of knowledge.
It's amazing.
One of the questions is, how do you make fire?
Oh, your Uncle Bill wrote in this pass-down journal, you take two sticks and you rub and rub and rub.
Yeah.
Love Bill.
PassDownJournal.com for their Mother's Day pre-order sale. If you want to get up on the Jumbotron, it's MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. If you want to sponsor Jordan Jesse Go, email Teresa@MaximumFun.org. Hey, I want to mention something.
Do it.
Karen, you've been to Max FunCon, right?
Yo, yeah.
Okay, well, bad news for everyone here. Max FunCon is sold out.
Oh.
But I've got some good news for everyone here.
What is it?
Max FunCon East tickets go on sale April 7th.
Where is Max FunCon East?
It's in the Poconos.
Ooh.
Have you ever heard of that? It's in this beautiful... It's in this big, beautiful hotel that is like 95% exactly the same as the one from the movie The Shining.
Nice. It's a little bit like, everybody in?
You know what it's like? It's like Dirty Dancing. I saw Dirty Dancing. I was like, oh, that's like the Inn at Pocono Manor. Like it might literally even be the Inn at Pocono Manor.
Yeah, because weren't they in or were they in the Catskills?
I think they were in the Catskills in the movie.
I can't remember.
But yeah, it's in the Poconos. We've got all kinds of amazing performers. It is all kinds of amazing classes for those of you who do creative stuff. When you were there, did you do any classes or you just fucked off?
As I said yes, I realized the answer was supposed to be no. But I've watched videos of people doing sets at Max FunCon.
You've never been to Max FunCon?
I've never been.
For real?
I've never been.
Really?
I'd like to go.
We'll get you to come.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, that's easy.
I was supposed to go on the boat.
Mike, you don't have to come.
Why?
Because you obviously don't want to. All you're doing over there is scratching your head and sighing quietly. Like, this is the worst thing. Like, I just came here to talk about my new hit movie. My name is Doris.
We haven't talked for 2 seconds about it. I haven't complained once.
We talked, number one, all you've done is complain. The whole time you've been here, it's just been whining and whining. That's all we get from Michael Showalter. Karen's been here. You heard it.
I don't know. I don't want to get involved
in
this.
She heard it. She just confirmed it.
He's what does whinging
mean? He's got a little bit of a sparkle in his eye. Look at it.
Oh, that you at home could have enjoyed that sparkle.
Have you ever done a Robert De Niro impression?
No, but do you think I would be good at it?
I do. The way you just did that sparkle. Look.
Yeah.
Look at me.
We get you a little mole. You could do it.
You look good at me.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we've got a star on our hands.
I think I'm a star maker.
Wow.
I've got nipples, Faka. Can you milk me?
He's not from Boston.
He's not Ted Kennedy.
He's not.
Where is
we'll do
Karen,
a quick
where
class.
Is he from?
Who, Robert De Niro?
I think that he's Southern.
He is. No. He's from. Let's see it. If Robert De Niro was from the South, turn around, turn back around.
Are you looking at me? No, that was Cockney.
No, that was good.
I thought that was good. Cockney accent.
I thought that was good.
South London.
I thought that was good.
It was the artful dodger as played by Robert De Niro.
Yes, consider yourself. I'm walking here.
Consider yourself part of the family. You've taken a lot. Are we up to paying? Is every second of this song money out the window?
Yeah. You know what ASCAP and BMI spend most of their time doing? Looking for show tunes in Jordan Jesse Go.
Yes, just scanning, scanning through.
Going, we're going to nail these sons of bitches someday.
Like a, yeah.
Okay. MaxFunCon.com. MaxFunCon East tickets on sale April 7th. It's going to be such a blast.
I will be there.
Who knows?
I will be there.
Michael Showalter will probably be there. Karen Kilgariff will probably be there. I'll tell you who we had last time.
British Robert De Niro.
Dick Cavett.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Okay.
Michael Ian Black, the funniest member of the state.
Careful.
Hey, now.
Careful.
Hey, now.
That's a step too far.
Hey, now.
Hey, now. Get your game on. You're an all-star.
Let's play.
Is that
that's the theme music?
That's the choral.
That's the theme
choral.
From Max FunCon East.
Yeah, senior honor
by Smash
choir.
Smash Mouth.
Hey now, you're a rock star.
Get your game on. Go play.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Karen Kilgariff, child empath.
I'm Mike Showalter.
Weren't you Ghost before? Did Ghost Ghost?
I'm Ghost.
He ghosted on Ghost.
I'm Michael Showalter.
I think Ghost is a great nickname.
It's really solid.
Ghost.
A lot of people come in here with half-assed bullshit nicknames.
Ghost.
I'm not going to name any names, but Ghost is a great nickname.
Ghost.
Okay. You're sticking
Michael
with that?
Michael Showalter. Yes. Michael Showalter, Ghost. Ghost.
If something momentous happens to you in our listening audience, we ask you to call us at 206-984-4FUN for our beloved segment, Momentous Occasions. Brian Fernandez, let's hear our first call.
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, Sonny D, and guest. This is Brian calling from Atlanta, Georgia. So I was out riding my bike today after work, and I rolled up to a stop sign, and I had to stop. And while I was there, waiting for some traffic to go by so I could continue, a snake fell out of the sky and landed on the ground about 10 feet away from me. And while I was trying to wrap my head around the fact that a snake had just fallen out of the sky, a large falcon was dive-bombing down and landed his claws right on top of the snake. And after doing that, he lifted up his head and looked around, made eye contact with me as if to say, yeah, I did that, and then bit the snake's head off. Have a good one.
You know, we've been getting a lot of, you guys aren't on the show every week. Certainly Karen's here as often as we can get her here, but you're not here every week. And week in, week out, we've been getting a lot of, oh, this guy's wearing a snake around his neck and he's walking down the street. Oh, this guy's wearing a snake around his neck and he's riding a unicycle, you know. Different shit like that.
Snake stuff.
And what I like about this call, and I'm really going to tip my hat to this call, is that this guy's bringing something new to the table. And that is a kind of Marty Stauffer's Wild America sense of the majesty of nature's creation.
Well, I was afraid it was something biblical. I thought it was kind of a Revelations thing where like one snake falls, now there's a rain of snakes. Then the sky turns to blood or whatever. I'm not up on Revelation. So right. I was so relieved when that bird came into the picture.
Do you think it's possible that this bird was reenacting the Mexican flag? Is that a possibility here?
If it was like a cosplay bird?
Yeah, it could have been a flag, a bird that does flag cosplay? Because ultimately, if you're a bird that does flag cosplay and you go to the con, there's not a lot of flags for you to get in on.
That's right.
There's
only
some
the
with
one.
Phoenixes.
Right.
If you have enough ashes, you're going to need them to rise from.
What if it was snake cosplay and he's all, don't tread on me, but
oh,
then that
yeah.
bird comes and he's like, go fuck yourself.
Oh, I have a new cosplay plan.
Yeah.
And it involves me tearing your ass
I'm
off.
In charge now.
Ah!
Yeah.
How do you feel about the majesty of nature, Mike?
I love it. Yeah. I love going on a nature walk and orienteering.
Kind of a north, south, east, west thing?
Yeah.
Like you tell people?
I think so.
Can you use a compass?
Oh, yeah, sure. You just hold it out and look at it, and it tells you where you are.
So what do you look for? Do you look –
moss?
Is there some kind of
moss?
Indicator? No, not on the – obviously you look for walk – You look for moss when you're on a nature walk.
Yeah.
I've been on a nature walk.
Different
before.
Types of moss.
I've just never used a compass before.
A lichen.
When you hold it out there, what kind of indications does it give you?
It tells you, you can see what direction you're pointing in. Based on wherever you are, it will tell you either if you're pointed north, south, east, or west, or anything in between.
It just tells it to you like Siri?
Seems to know. Well, no, there's an arrow.
It's analog.
It points to – it's a little arrow and it points – and you've never heard of a compass? You don't know what a compass is?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm a millennial. I just
– ew. Everyone hates you, millennial.
All I really know is selfies and entitlement.
And
to a certain extent, being offended by comedians visiting my college campus – I'm like, get that comedy out of here.
Get out of here. We're PC.
I'm protesting it. I'm so PC.
Wait, did they teach you how to use compasses on Wet Hot, which is what people I know call Wet Hot American Summer. Like, they don't have time. They truly call it Wet Hot.
Well, that's what we call it, too.
Do you? But
oh,
you
yes.
made it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about everyday Joe Lunchpail on the
Lunchpail
street.
Joe Lunchpail on the street.
Sons of
did
bitches.
Did you learn to use the compass on the set, or
yeah,
did you
did
learn it when we were
weeks,
preparing?
No, we did a 3-week like boot camp of like what it's like to be at camp. We went
for
and,
real.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
Damn it.
Sorry. I'm so sorry that you misinterpreted my sarcasm for sincerity.
I just had a vision of like you and Janine and Paul Rudd standing in like a ring of redwoods.
No. I would like to do that.
I know.
That would be really fun.
As how do you really
you
feel?
You needed that to make the movie.
How do you really exactly. feel about nature?
I love nature. Are you kidding me? I love it.
I'm not kidding.
It.
I'm deadly serious.
I love nature. I love it, and it's... I think about every day. I think about how devastating. I feel genuinely heartbroken every day about how the earth is
like litter.
Litter for sure. I lived in a neighborhood in New York before I moved to Los Angeles that had quite a lot of litter, and I was the guy on the street with that grabber. In fact, I was written about because I was the neighborhood trash grabber guy. Mm-hmm. No.
Are you David Sedaris, and was that neighborhood
basically
a place in France?
Does he grab trash too?
Mm-hmm. He wrote an essay about how his hobby is picking up trash.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He goes on long, long walks because he's, I think he's a little compulsive.
Yeah.
And he goes on long, long walks picking up garbage. And he was honored by his local town and it was in England. He lives in England now. Forgive me. And they named a trash truck after him.
Well, I had I lived in Brooklyn on a street that was pretty garbagey, and I would just keep my little area pretty clean.
Mm-hmm. Where'd they write you up?
On a blog, on a neighborhood blog.
Nice.
On a neighborhood blog.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
cool. I love nature. I love, I think, you know.
Okay.
I love animals and –
Michael Showalter, this is your chance to prove it. What's your favorite animal?
Oh, boy. They're all so wonderful, aren't they?
Well, except for possums.
And mosquitoes. Is that an animal? Are mosquitoes animals?
Skeeters are animals.
Are insects animals?
I mean, not in like the childhood sense of like what would be printed on a pillow.
Like do they have a heart? Do mosquitoes have hearts?
Do they love?
Can they love?
can they laugh?
Do they laugh? If you prick them, will they bleed?
Into your blood?
Bears, like a bear. I'll take a bear, a moose.
A bear is a deadly animal.
Bear, that's okay.
Really?
What's your favorite animal?
Capybara.
Uh-huh. Isn't that a type of bear?
Yeah, technically it's a South
American river bear. Isn't that a genre of bear?
River bear.
Isn't bara mean bear?
Could be.
And Cappy means it has a little hat on.
Wears a cap. Captain Bear.
A little Cappy. A bear in a sailor hat.
Bear in a sailor hat. Cappy Bear. What about you, Karen?
Let me get my full laugh.
Take it.
Oh, man.
I like my dog, Frank.
Yeah.
He's a mutt.
Sure.
And he eats anything that's on the floor, including pens.
Doesn't have to be food.
No. Disposable razors are his favorite.
Wow.
He's a total lunatic.
Wow.
And I just have a lot of respect for his kind of joie de vivre. Yeah. He just goes for it every day.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we're allowed to just pick our dog.
Okay. But it was like your favorite animal. I'm not going to go pick some random
fuck.
My favorite animal
is my wife because people are animals.
Wow. Ew.
Human beings are animals.
Foxes. That's my number one.
Yeah, my wife is a fox.
You know,
you're
I'm saying.
You're absolutely right.
My favorite animal is your wife. Yeah.
Wow.
Or wow. No.
I don't know.
I have kind of rap gun fingers right now.
You are doing rap fingers. You're a real Michael Showalter.
Yeah.
I just got served. Did I just get served?
Fox is my answer.
Are you being served?
The British television show?
Yeah.
Starring Robert De Niro?
Oh, you've been served.
Let's take another call.
Hey, this is Ken from Denver calling with a momentous occasion. I manage a rock and roll venue, and I just last night had a customer come and knock at my office door and ask if I could call an ambulance for him. He didn't appear to be injured, and I said, why do you need an ambulance? And he said, I soaked a tampon in vodka and put it in my ass, and I think that I'm going to die. All right. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Ken is so fucking chill.
Ken.
Fucking Ken has seen it all.
I like that he's like, at the end, he's like, okay, I'm trying to think if there was anything else I wanted to say. Like that's pretty much the main thing.
There's no more to that story.
He's looking at his checklist and it says tampon. It's got a check next to it.
Yeah.
It says in the butt and it's got a check next to
Done.
It. And he's like,
Is there any other main?
And I did the vodka thing too. And he writes down vodka and checks that off. He's like, yeah, I think I got it covered.
And the last thing is like, throw down Mike in victory.
Yeah.
Check.
I feel like Ken's been in this business since it was the Dave Clark Five and Herman's Hermits headlining Denver.
He's seen it. He's done it. He's snorted it.
Yeah.
Man, wouldn't that just get you super drunk? Like, I've never met anybody that's gotten super drunk.
Why would it get you drunk? Does your butt drink? Can you get drunk through your butt?
Yes.
Yeah.
It absorbs. Your body more quickly absorbs the vodka.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's like when.
All those years wasted, I should have been.
You could have been wasted.
When I started getting migraines when I was a kid, I'm talking like 10 years old, 11 years old, they gave me suppository medication that you had to put in your butt.
Oh, well, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so it gets soaked up just like,
I guess,
the,
right.
just like the vodka.
That's right.
Does.
I didn't think about it, but yeah, that
they
makes
didn't
perfect
put it
sense.
In, they didn't put
that
it
make,
in a tampon, but that might have been
sense.
A good idea.
That makes perfect sense.
I don't know. I can't speak to that. I'm not
think
a doctor.
That makes perfect sense.
Karen, you're a doctor, right?
I'm a doctor of tampons.
Yeah.
But I've never regretted saying anything
Dr.
more.
T.
I never do
I've
tampon
never
material, Michael.
It.
You know that.
I do know that.
I've never done it.
I can completely corroborate that.
It just came out. It's hot in here.
Yes.
Your tampon?
Hot and small.
Hot and small and full of egg crate.
Let's take another call.
Jordan, Jesse, go. Good evening. I had a very peculiar momentous occasion. I was walking along the road to the stores I usually do. A woman
Wait,
actually pulled over.
Pause this. Brian, pause this. What is this?
Is this Peter O'Toole?
What? Did Lawrence of Arabia just call in? What's going on, Brian? Is this a gag you're pulling on me because Jordan's not here this week? Is that what this is about, Brian?
That man's clearly wearing a top hat as he tells this story.
Do I need to fire you or fight you? What's happening, Brian? go back to the beginning. As he goes to the stores he likes to go to, mm-hmm. is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, Jesse, go. Good evening. I had a very peculiar.
Hold on. Pause it again. Is this an Irish Spring commercial, Brian?
No. It's a good call.
Okay. Just play it, because Michael Showalter's
Jordan, Jesse, go.
Losing
good evening.
Strength.
I had a very peculiar, momentous occasion. I was walking along the road to the store
God's
as I usually do.
Cookie Christmas.
A woman actually pulled over and said to me, I see you every day, and I just want to say, you're doing so well losing all that weight. Bless you. And then she drove off. I am a Zaftig man, and I took it as a compliment. Very momentous. Have a good day.
Hmm.
You know what?
That was sweet.
I think he's doing a great fucking job.
He's doing a great job with his fake accent.
Yeah.
And he's doing a great job with the weight loss.
I think he's doing a great job, especially with all that Cookie Crisp cereal around.
Cookie Crisp wasn't an Irish person.
Yeah, it was an Irish police officer.
It was a bear.
Guys, I'm a millennial.
Wasn't Cookie Crisp a bear?
No, Cookie Crisp had an Irish police officer.
I think you're thinking of Lucky Charms.
Cookie Crisp. Oh, don't take me Cookie Crisp.
You're thinking of Miller's Crossing.
Don't take me Cookie Crisp. Don't take me Cookie Crisp. Oh, my.
Yeah, it was an Irish police, like a stereotypical New York Irish police
cop.
Officer. Yeah.
For Cookie Crisp?
And somebody was always trying to steal the Cookie Crisp.
Sugared cereal.
A robber.
Was an Irish cop.
I just remember when Cookie Crisp first came out is when I was a kid, and the slogan was, you can't have cookies for breakfast, now you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember
fuck.
That shit?
You were fuck just, you!
As yeah. a kid, you were like, yes, it today like, it changes.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in charge now, Mom. Yeah.
Sounds like kids' rule.
Yeah.
God, that must have been amazing, Karen.
I was filled with electricity.
It must have been amazing. One time Dave Attell was on The Sound of Young America a long, long time ago. This is probably the most impactful that any single statement on The Sound of Young America has ever had on me. We were in college, and we asked Dave Attell what – if he could do – Insomniac was still on. That's how long ago this was. We asked him if he could do Insomniac in any time period in history, what would he choose? You know, like night times or dinosaur times or whatever. And he thought about it for a minute. He went, well, I guess the 70s. We're like, the 70s? And he's like, yeah. You didn't have to wear a seatbelt and you could smoke wherever you wanted. So I guess what I'm saying is I wasn't around then.
Yes.
But it sounds like a really magical world where kids rule, you don't have to wear a seatbelt, and you can smoke wherever you want.
You could not only smoke wherever you wanted. I have very distinct memories of my mother pulling up to the gas station saying $10 of Ethel or whatever the fuck, rolling the window up and then lighting
sure.
up a
oh,
Benson
sure.
Hedges yeah. and with me sitting next to her in the car.
Well, and I certainly have memories of smoking in an airplane, of not me smoking in an airplane, but of people smoking in an airplane,
yep.
willy-nilly. people smoking in airports, willy-nilly.
Oh, yeah. Not in that one room.
No,
but
no, no,
everywhere.
No, no, everywhere. Just
the,
everywhere you
the whole
went,
airport was
matter.
That one
just,
room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And definitely the I have children now, and definitely the seatbelt thing. I mean, the kid, the chair, the
car seat?
The car seat.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have that.
Fuck no. You got thrown
you got in.
In
the back. You just got thrown in the back.
You got thrown in the back and you slid around as your parents
yes.
took a corner
and it was
at
awesome.
40 and
it was great.
The best.
And it was great.
It was super fun.
My best friend's dad would put us in the back of his pickup truck. Me and him in the back of his pickup truck
yep.
in San Francisco and drive and floor it. And go up hills and off the top of
so
the hill
get airborne.
So that we would fly out of the pickup
yeah.
truck.
Yeah.
This man was in his 40s.
Sure.
He was an older father.
But he knew how to live. And I bet you he's on acid. If you were in San Francisco, was it early 80s?
I'm talking looking mid to late 80s. I'm going to put it 88 on it.
Maybe he's on GHB.
Really? Is this how you date things? It's like carbon dating.
I just tried to do the fastest
whatever
drug.
Whatever drug was going on
yeah.
at that time.
Whatever would come out of my
but
brain.
But now I think it's illegal. It's actually illegal not to have a car seat now.
Yes.
You have to have it. It's law.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you still allowed to put your child and his best friend in the back of your pickup truck and fly off of things streets of San Francisco style?
Doubt it.
Yeah. You're probably not even allowed to paint over the letters in the tailgate so that it says Yo instead of Toyota.
No, you cannot do that anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's disrespectful to Toyota. Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Why?
Obama.
Obamacare?
Yeah.
And they've done it again.
Obamacare destroyed the whole Toyota graffiti Yo.
Toy.
Yo.
Yo.
Oda.
Yota.
Yota. Oh, yo.
We've lost so much.
Yes.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la. Hey, I'm Barbara Gray.
I'm Brandi Posey.
And I'm Tess Barker.
Together, we make up the Max Fun podcast, Lady to Lady.
Each week, we welcome a kick-ass lady guest.
We talk about our lives, our dreams, and the terrible decisions we've made that still haunt us.
Mm-hmm. We've had on great comedians like Aisha Tyler and Margaret Cho, plus screenwriters, doctors, authors, you know, anyone who's willing to be as open as we are.
It's all a lot of fun. That's us, Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret? Neither.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Karen Kilgariff, child empath.
And I'm Michael Showalter, ghost.
You know, Michael Showalter, I sincerely really loved your movie, My Name is Doris.
Oh, thanks.
That was a really lovely film. I thought Sally Field was the perfect person to do it because she has both the – I think, you know, in a funny way, it's not unlike Smokey and the Bandit in that she is both like sort of beautiful and glamorous. And the part of the premise of this film, roughly speaking, is that she is an older single woman who's maybe teetering on the edge of cat ladydom, who meets Max Greenfield's character and kind of falls for him.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it, what you need in this role is a woman who is both believably delicate enough and I think delicate enough to be teetering on the edge of cat ladydom, but also is sort of beautiful and funny and cool enough to believably be someone that some young hipster people would kind of get into and think was really neat. And that was a really remarkable way to person to find to do that.
She's like, really
that's
the
a
only,
special combo.
She's really the
stuff.
Only person that could do it.
Would you have just not made the movie if she had said no? That was the plan? Let's say she says no, but Julia Roberts says yes. Well, she says, put me in some give me a few yeah. prosthetic wrinkles and let's
exactly.
do this.
Yes. That would have been fine. But no, if she had said no, there's actually a very good chance we wouldn't have made the movie.
Yeah, she really was built for that. And I won't give any spoilers away, but there is a part where there's like a photo shoot.
Yeah.
And as she was doing it, I was just like, oh, yeah, because she's still Sally Field. You know what yeah. I mean? Like at the end of the day, she can play mousy or she can play a little nutty or the, you know, eccentric lady or whatever. But the... You know, it was just kind of heartening. I mean, we went because we were like, yeah, I want to see how an old lady picks up on a young guy.
Yeah.
I can get behind a movie like that. And then there were that part where it's just like, yeah, because
one day you'll be an old lady many years from now.
It's very soon.
Many decades from now.
I need to start working on being able to wear Sally Field-sized pants, though. Like, she was basically in like an American Apparel shoot.
She looks phenomenal.
She is amazing
she
looking.
She looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
But she's real. Looking, she's
yeah.
an old, she is she the wrinkles you see the wrinkles you see the she's just amazing
yeah.
she's but in all honesty there were you know I feel like that the character of Doris is about 10 different we need you it's she there's a fragility there's a vulnerability there's an eccentricity there. But then there's also this like genuine sexuality and charisma and all these different things. And we wanted her to actually be a woman of a certain age who can do the comedic range and the dramatic stuff. And I really do feel like if it hadn't been her, I don't know what we would have done because she really is the only person that has all of those – can do all of that stuff.
Is she friends with Max Greenfield?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So she really has it all.
Yes.
Hollywood legend.
She's on his. He's on
comic
hers.
Chops.
They text.
Beautiful.
They text.
Can play the delicacy.
She has what you want.
They text.
The answer's yes.
They're sending that text. Oh God, would I love to get a text from that man. Just get a text.
And hey, also, Jesse,
that can be arranged.
Your friend Schmidt,
Jesse,
from television.
It was also good that he wasn't a douchebag. It wasn't like the classic situation.
Or a dummy.
Exactly.
Or a dummy. That's also a very difficult role because he isn't the most brilliant person in the world.
Right.
But
you're
he
talking
also,
about in real life?
No, his character.
Characters.
In real life,
but he's
the
not
most
a dummy. He's not just a dumb hunk either.
Right.
It's
exactly.
A very difficult role.
Well, they're real people. It felt like a real story.
Yeah.
You strike me as someone who sincerely loves the idea of romantic comedy.
Yes. That's the genre that I loved growing up.
Like as a teen?
Yeah.
What like touched your life?
What movies?
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on. I could go on forever.
It ends in 1988, as I understand it.
I mean, so, you know, there's so many of those, all those romantic comedies, Tootsie and but I mean, there's so.
I've never seen Tootsie.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I should see
Get
Tootsie.
Out of this tiny room.
I mean, the obvious ones, Tootsie and When Harry Met Sally and Annie Hall. And,
I've seen those.
I loved the Hugh Grant movies, Four Weddings and a Funeral. I loved all the Tom Hanks stuff, all the, you know, like. Those were the movies that I loved, but I also loved silly Steve Martin movies. But he has some great romantic comedies as well. Roxanne is one of my favorite romantic comedies.
It's the best.
And The Jerk is a romantic comedy.
Can I tell you something about how much
Bernadette Peters?
How much
they have
I
the
like,
duet? I'm sure
a beautiful
you,
song.
How much I like Hugh Grant?
I know. You belong to somebody else, but
tonight
you belong
to me. Sorry, I'm not sure where I am. Thank you. And then I pull out my trumpet.
I met Bernadette Peters one time.
What?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I bet she's shiny.
That's a really good one.
I had seen The Jerk, but had not remembered her from it or something. I don't know. I was like 16. And what I remember is it was when I was working. I used to work for the theaters that belonged to the city of San Francisco downtown. So the Herbst Theater and the Symphony Hall. And she was doing like a recital concert. Mm-hmm. And I just remember just everyone in the entire symphony hall, like all the union dudes, just everyone just were boning out so hard for like 72 hours beforehand. Like, ooh, Bernadette Peters is going to be here. Bernadette Peters is going to be here. Like, will she talk to us? Can we touch her? like these sort of like hardened dudes who all worked on like Clint Eastwood movies when they weren't working at the – They were just like in tears at the prospect of laying eyes upon Bernadette Peters. And I was like, I'm not sure who Bernadette Peters is. That was where I was at.
But she also, she's like Aphrodite style perfect in terms of what she looks like and her body and everything. But then her fucking singing voice, like her in Into the Woods, she destroys. She's just like, she's like singing to the back wall, doesn't need mics. That combination is so rare. It's like kind of like she's like the original Christian Chenoweth.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, she's the original Christian Chenoweth.
That was the worst. That was not a good.
They keep giving her sitcoms.
I'm a fan of Bernadette Peters.
I love, came out bad. No, I got you. I'm
okay,
with
okay.
you. I'm
Kristen
with
Chenoweth
you.
She was amazing.
I'm
yeah,
with
she
you.
Is.
There's nothing. There's nothing in all of entertainment that to this day moves me as much as a good number in a musical.
Yeah.
A good number in a Broadway musical to this day is the thing that floors me the most.
What's number one all time, Mike?
West Side Story.
Mm-hmm.
Number one and Chorus Line number two. Cool. Maybe not in that order.
One time I saw a funny thing happen on the way to the Forum.
How's that? Where's that one?
Whoopi Goldberg.
That That was a fart trombone.
But I say that.
My name is Doris.
Hello, my name is Doris.
Hello, my name is Doris.
Hello, my name is Doris is in theaters now, recommended by the Committee of Two. That's me and Karen Kilgariff.
And Rotten Tomatoes.
And Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. It's certified fresh.
It's certified fresh.
Yeah,
what about April Richardson? You went to see it with her.
Oh, yeah. Did
AP
she like
loved it?
Oh, good.
Yes.
Not.
We were very happy. It was that kind of thing where, like, you, I don't know if you ever feel this, but it's like I get nervous when I know people, when I go to see a thing that somebody I know makes. I get very nervous. It's like you don't want to see.
You don't want to hate it. I admire Michael Showalter. I've known this guy since I was a teen.
I know, but. I just had that feeling.
I don't want to see him embarrassing.
That's exactly right.
I got dumped in his mother's car.
You don't want to see that shit happening. And so when you are in a full ArcLight theater, it's on Friday evening and people are all like, hell yeah. It's just the best feeling.
Oh, wow.
It's so nice. Mm.
It's a delight. It's a delight. And of course, Karen Kilgariff, beloved guest on this program.
That's me applauding.
Now a beloved guest host on this program.
Right? I get to do this more, right?
She hosts the show. Well, you're going to have to get rid of Jordan.
Okay.
Do you need
a ride? Easy.
She hosts the show.
Sure, I'll
do that. Not a problem. Poisoning?
She hosts the show, Do You Need a Ride, with fellow beloved Jordan Jesse Go guest Chris Fairbanks, one of the funniest guys on earth.
And then we have a new podcast, Georgia Hardstark and I.
Really?
From Georgia and Allie.
That's interesting. So you got a new podcast that was never mentioned to me when you were in the process of just a whole new Not Max Fun podcast that I had no. My friend Karen Kilgariff has another podcast in some other podcast network.
In her podcast network. Because she's the doer and I'm the one that goes
along
with
people. Her podcast network can go suck a lemon as far as I'm concerned.
Whoa, whoa.
It's called My Favorite Murder and we talk about murders that we love.
You know what? The two of you can stick it in your ears.
With a
You're no longer a beloved guest host.
You're lucky
if you continue to be a beloved guest.
I still am.
You're lucky if you ever get invited back here.
You can't take it away from me.
Do you have guests on that show?
No. It's just the two of us talking about... do you like murders?
I love murders.
Is it true?
It's my favorite thing to do at night is watch murder.
Okay, then if we
That's how I go to sleep every night is by watching murder.
Like Discovery, Investigation Discovery.
ID Discovery, all of it.
Forensic Files.
2020, Dateline.
48 Hours.
Basically, ID Network is my network.
Okay.
I live on the ID Network.
If we did a live show, would you come and be a guest?
Of course.
Now, you bitter man in the corner.
Yeah. By the way.
Could we loop you back in?
Do You Need a Ride has guests on it. You know, did you know that? It's a show where they pick up people at the airport or take them to a comedy show they're doing.
That's right.
anyway, I just mentioned that it has guests on it because, Karen, how many times would you say that you've been a guest on my show?
Like at least
like my
25.
Different shows.
Because
I've invited you on my NPR show. You've been featured on my NPR show a few times.
You have.
National Public
You've
Radio.
You've kind of made me.
And then you've probably been on Jordan Jesse Go, what, six?
Easily six.
Eight times?
Six it's definitely a high number.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't mention that for any particular reason.
Do
it's
you
just
need
that
a ride?
Her show does have guests on it.
And she's
been a guest on my show a lot of times.
And so have you been a guest on hers?
No.
Look, I'm not here to complain about what shows I have and haven't been a guest on. Obviously, I'm doing great. I was on History Channel's Christmas Through the Decades.
With potentially Eve Plum.
So I'm not sweating.
But we still aren't
sure.
No, we confirmed that it was the youngest Brady.
Oh,
that's
Sandy. No, we never said that.
You never confirmed.
You said that she was in her 60s.
Yeah.
She appeared to be in her 60s. It might have just been that her spirit was broken.
You're going to be on Do You Need a Ride, and we're going to pick you up from this building and drive you around the block 10 times.
I want to be on the murder show.
Okay.
I'll just listen. I don't even have to say anything. I'll just listen.
Awesome.
Our producer is Brian Sunny D. Fernandez.
Woo!
Jordan will be back next week. He's taking a quick breather.
We'll see.
If you want to talk about the show, MaximumFun.reddit.com or join the Maximum Fun group on Facebook. Tweet about it with the hashtag JJGo and call us 206-984-4FUN. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.